Amen and amen. If you got a Bible, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, continuing our series. It's not new. We've been in it several weeks now. Continuing our series through the book of Ephesians, walking through Paul's letter to the church there in the prominent city during that time. And we have hit basically a new portion of the letter. As I've mentioned before, the book of Ephesians really broken down into two different sections. Ephesians chapters 1 through 3 speak to primarily doctrine that Paul is trying to remind the people in Ephesus, the Christians in Ephesus, about. And then chapter 4, verse 1, right, is really a summary statement for the rest of the book, but also notates a new section. He's shifting from speaking about doctrine and what they ought to believe to practice and how they ought to live. And so over the next few weeks until we approach Easter Sunday, we'll be walking through right living, proper living as followers of Christ. And so on that note about Easter, just real quick, just want to say something there. You'll see it in your bulletin, Easter weekend, what we've got going on in the life of Tylertown. Got a Good Friday service happening March the 29th at 6 p.m. And then Saturday morning, we have the privilege of taking part in the Summerfield Neighborhood Easter Egg Hunt that they do yearly. Our church, we're going to use the green space right by the playground there to set out some eggs, and our church is going to be part of the route and families coming by. That's going to happen from 11 to 1 on Saturday the 30th, and so we'll need help with folks greeting families as they come by. We're going to, man, give invites for them to come to church on that Sunday, and so we'd love for you to be a part of that. And then Easter Sunday, we're having four services on that day, 7:30, 8:45, 10, and 11:15. So just wanted to let you know that, that Easter's coming. It's here. It's here, man. And I love Easter because, hey, we celebrate the fact that our Jesus, right, he bled and died for us. But, hey, Brother Ed, he didn't stay dead, right? He rose from the grave. He's alive and well. And for that reason, we got a ton to celebrate. So you and your family make plans to be here for that. And so with that being said, Ephesians chapter 4, if you're there, let me know that you're there by saying there. And we're going to read verses 1 through 16, the first portion here, the first passage, if you will, in this chapter. So this is what the word of the Lord says. It says this, I, therefore, Paul here speaking, I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you, implore you, beg you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. He's quoting Psalm 68. And verse 9, in saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower regions of the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning and by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, making the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. There is a lot that is in this passage. Paul implores the believers in Ephesus, but also, man, he's telling us to live a life worthy of the call. What is he talking about there when he says the call? Right? He's talking to believers there. He's speaking to, right, those that have been radically saved by placing their faith and trust in Christ. Hey, because you've been saved, right, because you've been, hey, called out of darkness into his marvelous light, the call for us now is to live a life worthy, right, of the fact that we've been saved. And he goes on to talk about the specifics of that. But he says something in verse 15 that I want to highlight, and I believe is really the crux of this passage. Man, he encourages the saints in Ephesus to grow up. To grow up. And in turn, he's encouraging us to do the same thing. In Christ, right, the call for us is to grow up. And that's what I've entitled the message today. Hey, time to grow up. It's time to grow up. It's time to grow up in him. And so with that being said, why don't we pray one more time together and then dig into the message. Lord Jesus, we again come to you, Lord, just asking that you would continue to speak to us. Have your way, Lord, in this place. Lord, meet with us here, Lord. I pray, God, wherever we may find ourselves, God, I pray that we'd understand that, and the call for us is to continue to grow up in you, into the head, which is Christ. I continue to grow in you. God, as Paul mentions in another letter, Lord, Colossians 2, Lord, a call for us, just as we've been saved, Lord, is to continue to walk in you, rooted, built up, and established in the faith, God. I pray that we would be a church full of Christians who are growing up . So, Lord, speak to us now. Lord, have your way, and we'll give you the glory and honor for it all. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Hey, it's time to grow up. I remember as a kid being told that all the time, right? 13, 14 years old. Yeah, being told that by my parents. Being told that, you know, playing sports out on the football field, you know, tackling somebody, finger out of place. Coach is like, hey, quit being a wimp. Time to grow up. You know, it's like, hey, my finger is messed up. Coach, what are you talking about here? But whenever we speak about the Christian life, right, the reality is no matter how long we've been saved, no matter how much scripture we know, no matter how long we've been in the church, the call for us is to continue to grow up in Christ. The context here, you know, in Ephesus, the believers, the church was doing well overall. But perhaps, right, there were some, you know, many squabbles, right? There were some petty issues that were going on. Folks, man, probably getting on each other's nerves, right? Bringing up all kinds of stuff, minor stuff that was getting in the way, right, of folks maturing in Christ. And Paul tells them, hey, look, man, get over that small stuff. The call for you, right, is to live in a manner worthy of the gospel. And what that looks like is choosing, man, hey, to grow up, continue to grow up in Christ. And the call for us is the same. Hey, to grow up in him. Hey, we can't stay in the same place. Matter of fact, I've heard it said like this before, man, in our walk with Jesus, hey, we don't stay in the same place. We're either growing up in him, maturing in him, right? Or we're, hey, growing away from him, moving away from him. Man, the call for us in Christ is to choose to, man, grow up in him. It's time to grow. Paul here, right, highlights a couple of ways in which, right, growth in Christ takes place. He lists a couple of ways in which, right, growing up is seen and expressed in our life, marks of a believer that's maturing in him. And I want to highlight those. I believe we see three here in this passage. The first, right, mark of a believer that is maturing, that is growing, right, in Christ is one that chooses to live in a way that pleases the Lord. The mark of a maturing believer is one that understands this call to live in a way that pleases God. They understand, right, that this grace that we received is not one that we abuse because we know that we're going to heaven one day, right? This grace that we receive gives us the license to do whatever we want. But rather, they understand that, hey, because we have been saved, we've been called out of darkness into marvelous light. Right? Well, hey, we're going to live in a manner that pleases Him. We're going to worship Him. Man, we're going to choose to serve Him. Hey, we're going to choose to walk with Him. We're not going to use this freedom as a license, right, to do whatever we want, to live however we want. But, man, we're going to be folks that choose to live in a way that pleases Him. Right? There were folks all throughout the first century, right, that saw this grace as one that they would rather choose to abuse than one that they would choose to rather to grasp and actually live in. And what Paul is saying is this, hey, man, a mark of maturity is one that lives in a manner that pleases God. And he goes into specifics, into sharing what that looks like, right? Man, living in a manner that pleases the Lord, it looks like this. Man, choosing to walk in His Spirit. We've talked about this throughout this whole series, but Paul highlights it here. He says, live in a manner worthy of the calling you've been called with all humility and gentleness and patience, bearing with one another in love. Right, all those characteristics are what are known as what? Fruits of the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, right? Fruits of the Spirit that we see talked about here, right? Fruits that only are born as, man, hey, we possess the Spirit in us, but as we're walking right in the Spirit. As we're living lives, right, filled with His Holy Spirit. Hey, these are the characteristics that are possessed. As we talked about, hey, these characteristics, man, by nature, we don't possess. I'll go ahead and tell you right now, man, hey, by nature, listen, I struggle with several of these. Man, bearing with people, man, that's a struggle. Here recently, man, was playing in this little basketball league just here recently. You know, I'm talking about loving to play ball, man. One of the guys, he came up and was asking about prayer. He said, hey, Pastor, man, I need you to pray for me. I said, oh, yeah, man, I got you. And then, man, 30 minutes later, as we're playing in the game, I was struggling to bear with him, man, because he wasn't playing very good, Brother Blaine. It was a struggle to bear with him. It was a struggle not to, yell at him. Hey, come on, man, get right. By nature, man, hey, I can't follow some of us, right? By nature, we struggle with, humility. Man, we love to think a lot about ourselves. I struggle with that, too. Right, but the call for us, man, in order to exhibit these characteristics is to be folks that, man, walk in the Spirit. Real quick, walking in the Spirit, man, it looks like this. Obviously, we talked about it, daily being filled with His Spirit, Ephesians chapter 5. We'll look at that, next week, Ephesians chapter 5, that passage there. Don't be drunk with wine, but rather be filled with His Spirit. Right, it's daily choosing to come under control of His Holy Spirit, but heard it like this week. It's hard to be, man, filled with God's Spirit. Hard to come under the control of the Holy Spirit, hey, when you're filled with other stuff. Hello. And so, man, processing us, hey, walking in the Spirit is not only, man, asking to come under the control of His Spirit and direction and leadership, but it's choosing to empty ourselves daily of the junk that's in our life. Man, hey, choosing to empty ourselves so that we can be filled with the Spirit. But it also looks like this. Hey, daily fellowship with the Father. Time with Him in prayer and in His Word. Elementary stuff that we've learned about, man, talk about. I seemingly talk about it every single week here. But it is of the utmost importance. If we want to be folks that walk in the Spirit, man, hey, we've got to understand these things. Man, and choose to walk in them. And living in a manner that pleases the Lord, right? It looks like walking in His Spirit. Galatians 5:16. But I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. It's walking in His Spirit, but also, right, it's not only that, but it is choosing to work to maintain The unity. It's interesting. Paul quickly shifts here. Live in a manner worthy of the call that you've received, right? He expresses some of the fruits of the Spirit here, and then he shifts quickly to say this. Eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. He speaks to unity here. He says, hey, what pleases the Lord, right, is a church, it is a people, man, that walks in unity. Notice, by the way, I didn't say uniformity. Hello. There's a difference between the two. It walks in unity. Though we look different, right, though we come from different places, the call for us, man, is to work, make every effort in the original language, right, to maintain this unity. Man, that is beautiful. I love some of these quotes that stumbled upon this week when it speaks to unity. This quote from this lady, Miss Joni Tada, says this, believers are never told to become one. We already are one and are expected to act like it. Corrie Ten Boom says this, be united with other Christians. A wall with loose bricks is not good. The bricks must be cemented together. Right, the call for us as believers, right, hey, we've got to work, right, on maintaining unity, right, in and amongst one another. What that looks like is this, hey, tertiary, right, issues, man, related to doctrine things, tertiary issues that we may not have the answer to in this life. We don't allow for those things to divide us, right? Hey, we stay connected, right, with the core things. Right, stuff that we may not agree with because, hey, it may not be our style or our preference. We don't let those things get in the way of us fellowshipping and doing life and loving one another. Stuff that may, man, get in your craw, right? You don't look to use it as a piece of division, but rather, hey, you say, you know what? Hey, it may not be, like I said, my cup of tea. I'm just going to keep rolling, man, because I love the Lord, man, and love my fellow brother, sister in Christ. We've got to work, man, to maintain unity. Paul says here, right, that this unity, right, in us working, it's maintained, right, by the Spirit, number one. But also, listen, it's maintained by understanding that we ultimately are one in Christ. We are one in Him. Man, Paul talks about it all throughout his letters, that we're one. We've got to understand. We may come from different denominational backgrounds, but we're one in Him. We may come from different regions of the world, but we're one in Him. If you're saved in here, you know Christ. Hey, you're a part of, man, God's universal church, the Big C Church. And we are family. We're family. It's interesting. The word one is used 7 times in 3 verses. Paul was trying to make a point here to remind us, man, that we are one. And so, man, what this means for us, right, is that at the end of the day, and again, Paul's talking to a context here, Jew and Gentile. He's reminding them, hey, even though you're, man, 2 different ethnic groups, you're a part of one kingdom, right? What it means for us today is this. Hey, you may be on 2 different, you know, maybe on 2 different sides of the political debate. But hey, you're still one in Christ. You're still one party, the heavenly one. You may be a different race, but man, you're still one family. You may be a Baptist, you may be a Methodist, you may be a Pentecostal, you may be a Presbyterian, right? You may be another denomination, one that I'm leaving out, you know. But listen, at the end of the day, hey, we're one church in Christ. We are one in Him. The good news is that the gospel, right, it destroys racism, classism, sexism, and humanism. As Paul says in Galatians 3, there's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, but we are one in Christ. Man, maintaining unity is understanding that we are one in Him. One in Him. And choosing to walk in that. Hey, that's what honors God. Living as a one-man band or one-woman band, that doesn't honor Him. Walking in unity does, is what it says here. And so the call for us is to walk in unity, man. Growing up, right, a mark of maturity is one that chooses to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. Let's keep moving real quick, right? Secondly, right, a mark of maturity, man, one that is growing up in the Lord. It's not only walking in a manner that's pleasing to him, but hey, choosing to live as a good steward, man, of what's been given. Paul here shifts in verse 7, right, to talking about grace that's been given or gifts that have been given. This grace that he talks about here, obviously we've been given saving grace, but that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about, hey, the gifts that have been given to us by his Spirit. And he goes on to talk about that there from verses 7 to 12. The reality is, right, a maturing Christian, a mark of a maturing Christian is learning, right, that what you've been given in Christ isn't yours at the end of the day. It's his. And it's choosing to be a good steward of what has been given to you. And you may say, Pastor Irv, man, what does that look like? We've all been given spiritual gifts or been given a spiritual gift. And the purpose of being given that, right, is to ultimately serve him and to build his kingdom. It's what Paul talks about here. And so for us, right, living as a good steward is understanding that, hey, this life isn't mine and what's been given of his Spirit isn't mine, but it's his. And the call for us is to walk in that, to live in a way, man, that glorifies his name by serving him and serving the church. And live as a good steward of what's been given. Notice here, just really quick, notice here a couple of things pertaining to these gifts. Notice the diversity within the gifts. Paul gives not an exhaustive list of some of the spiritual gifts. You know, you can look at 1 Corinthians 12, man, it speaks to that. Romans 12 speaks to gifts as well. But notice that, man, that there are differing gifts there. Also notice it talks about here in verse 11, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the shepherds there, which speaks to this. Paul isn't just talking to the saints that are there. He's talking to the leaders over the saints that are there at the church as well. He's talking to the leaders as well as, hey, the lay people that are there. He's speaking to, hey, the offices of, right, of the church, but also he's speaking to the functions of, right, the gifts that have been given there. When I mention the office, the offices there, right, I'm speaking to, this reality of God's ordained structure within the church, right? There is a leadership structure that God has placed in place in the life of the church, and he's speaking to specific folks that are there. But also, right, he's speaking to ultimately the function of these different giftings that we see talked about here. When he talks about the apostles, right, he's speaking to those that, man, have a gift, man, of starting things. So, church planters, those that get into church planting, or those that, man, serve as missionaries going to a faraway place, right, and ministering to people, man, that hadn't heard the gospel. Man, folks have a gift given by the Spirit, man, in order to do that. And when he speaks to prophets, right, obviously, man, we know in the Old Testament we see prophets there. I mean, we study those, we know those, but, man, those in Christ, some folks have been given the gift, man, of being able to speak a word of prophecy, man, in somebody's life. What that really means is this, hey, giving a word at a certain time from the word to a certain individual, right? Some folks have a gift for that. Continuing on there, when he speaks to the evangelists, some folks, man, hey, we're all called to, first and foremost, we're all called to share the gospel, but some folks have been given a gift to be able to do that. I don't know if you know some folks, man, I remember I got a good buddy that I went to seminary with, Michael Pogue, man. You know, he's a guy, man, grew up, you know, I mean, out in the sticks. Man, you look at him, talk to him, it's like, man, he wouldn't be a guy I would consider, you know, that'd be good at, man, sharing the gospel with folks. But, man, we'd go door to door, man, in seminary for a class, or we'd go on missions. And, man, this dude, he could open up and share, just read John 3:16, man, folks would get saved. Meanwhile, I'm walking in, Austin, I got this eloquent, you know, presentation there. And they're asleep half the time. No, I'm just kidding. But hey, you know, he had the gift. The Lord had blessed him, man, with the spiritual gift, been able to share the gospel with folks. And then you see shepherds and teachers, right? This shepherds, right, or pastors speaks to, right, to being able to, folks that have a gift of care, man, and shepherding the body and the flock. And teachers, obviously, that's self-explanatory, speaking to folks that have a gift for teaching. I say all that and share all that to say, man, hey, there's diversity, man, within these gifts. We weren't all given the same exact thing. We all, man, have been given, hey, different gifts from the Lord, man, for the ultimate purpose of building up His church and serving Him. I'm thankful, man, that we all don't have the same exact gift. Right? We all are different parts of His body, as 1 Corinthians talks about. Man, with the same ultimate purpose of ultimately building up His kingdom. So what that means, hey, we all have a role to play, man, within His body. Man, we see that He talks about the diversity within the gifts, but also, as I just mentioned, we see that He talks about the purpose of the gifts. Look what He says there. Verse 12, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, right? Speaking to the leadership there within the church, and for the layperson, for the building up of the body of Christ. Man, we all, man, have this purpose, right, to ultimately use what we've been given to build God's kingdom. 1 Peter 4:10 and 11 says it like this: as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Christ Jesus. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Man, we ought to be good stewards, live as good stewards of what we've been given. Paul Tripp says it like this. Says it like this: your life, my life, is much bigger than possessing a good job, having an understanding spouse, and non-delinquent kids. It's bigger than beautiful gardens, nice vacations, and fashionable clothes. In reality, in Christ, you are part of something immense, something that began before you were born and will continue after you die. God is rescuing fallen humanity, transporting them into His kingdom, and progressively changing them into His likeness. And He wants you and I to be a part of that. Wow. Man, so the call for us is to be good stewards of what we've been given in Him. And then thirdly and lastly, and I'm done, a mark of, man, maturing in Christ, a mark of growing up in Him. Thirdly and lastly is, man, folks that choose to lean into the truth. Folks that lean into the truth. In the rest of the passage there, we see Paul talk about how we're called to be folks that mature unto manhood. Folks that choose to grow. And he speaks to how, man, that comes in us choosing, right, to lean into the truth of God. Choosing to be folks, man, that aren't tossed to and fro, right, by the waves of life. By the ways of things that aren't true. But rather, man, walk in the truth and speak the truth in love, man, with Him. Leaning into the truth, right? What that looks like is us being folks that aren't swayed by doctrine, first and foremost. When he uses this word, right, tossed to and fro, it's this imagery of, right, the ship in the Gospels, right, when the winds and the waves came and shook it up. Right, it's that picture, man, moving to and fro. What Paul is saying is this: no, we're not called to be believers that are like that, that live our lives, right, that live our lives shaken by seasons of life or circumstances, but folks, man, that are anchored and rooted in His truth. And he says one of the ways that we can be swayed or shaken is, man, by way of false doctrine, man. He says, hey, don't be tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. I remember one time I almost was swayed by false doctrine. I remember it was orientation right before the start of college. And I was walking around the little area there where they had all the different booths set up, and I saw this one booth that was there called Christians on Campus. I was a fairly new believer at the time, and so I was like, hey, I'm going to check it out. The guy that I met there, man, he was super nice, super kind. He's like, hey, you know, Irv, listen, I'd love to connect with you, man. Man, you know, there's an IHOP down the road, dude. I'd love to buy your breakfast. why don't you come with me? And I was like, man, you had me at buy my breakfast. I'm there. Shoot, hey, I'm down for that. And so ended up going, and he was real nice, real kind, courteous. We got our food, and he said, hey, man, let me pray for the food. And then he started praying, and I remember thinking, man, this dude's weird. This isn't right. It was like some kind of weird chant. Didn't mention the name. Hey, didn't pray in Jesus' name. Didn't mention, hey, anything about the Lord, right? It was just some kind of chant. And so the rest of the time, as I'm eating my, you know, bacon and eggs, I was like, well, I don't know if this is right. He's a nice guy, though. Started telling me a little bit about, man, hey, the ministry that they were a part of. And there were a lot of similarities, but hey, there was a little bit that he was off on, which was some of the core stuff. And I remember going back to church that Sunday and talking to a college student that just graduated from the school. And he said, hey, Irv, listen, man, you just met with a cult leader. That was a cult that was there. And I said, oh, really? He's like, yeah, they changed their name many a times, you know, to get back on campus. They've been kicked off campus. Man, that's a cult. It's a cult. And I remember him challenging me, hey, know your word. So you won't fall victim to potentially getting swayed. Man, he almost swayed me with a free IHOP breakfast, Brother Tom. But I'm thankful, hey, that he did. I share that story, right, to share with you, hey, this truth. It's so easy to get swayed, man, by false doctrine. Hey, what's cool? It's so easy, right, to get swayed, man, with things that sound good but don't necessarily match the word. So easy to get swayed, man, by doctrine that you may see on an Instagram page, man, but doesn't match the word. You got to choose to lean into the truth so you won't get swayed and in doctrine. By false doctrine. Don't allow for false doctrine to sway you. Rather, hey, know the truth and choose to walk in it. 1 John 4:1, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but rather test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. Man, lean into truth, man, so you won't get swayed by false doctrine. But hey, lean into the truth so you won't get swayed by the enemy's schemes. That's what he talks about. There, hey, know the truth so you won't get swayed into the enemy schemes. I remember going on a mission trip west of here where a religion is rather prominent. I won't mention the name of it. You probably know it, but got a chance to minister to some college students there. And the religion that they followed, man, was super similar to Christianity. But hey, when you open, you know, you look at the underbelly of it, man, it's actually way off, far off. And talking with them, right, having intellectual conversations, you know, they'll say, oh, yeah, we got a lot of similarities. Oh, yeah, we think Jesus is cool, too. You know, hey, I mean, he was, you know, we believe the Messiah was born in the United States, though we don't necessarily see, you know, such and such. And we get to the point where it's like, man, a lot of the claims that you claim are man, they've been debunked. They're proven to be erroneous. And what they say is, hey, at the end of the day, man, I believe because I've got this feeling in my chest, feeling in my bosom. And I never forget one of the leaders that was there, what he said. He said, Brother Irv, I don't know this to be 100% true, but I believe it. You know, when it talks about how the devil, right, he sends out his demons, you know, to and work in areas, man, I believe, man, the devil himself is working in this place. He's got these folks convinced that this certain religion is true, man. They're so close, yet so far. They're folks that have been swayed right by the enemy's schemes. And believers in here, man, even though we're saved, it's so easy to find ourselves in the same place. May not get swayed to believe, man, a religion that's totally erroneous, but we may get swayed by the enemy's schemes, hey, because we have an issue with a fellow brother in Christ or sister in Christ. And that issue, man, has turned into bitterness, and we've let the enemy win because it's been a long time since we've worshiped the Lord. Hey, we may not get swayed, right, by believing, hey, it's false doctrine, that's way off, but we may get swayed, right, and choosing to believe, hey, you know what? Because of the business day, I'm going to choose not to spend time with God and allow for that day to turn into a couple of weeks, to turn into a couple of months, and
you find yourself distant from him. Be careful not to allow for the enemy, man, to sway you with the schemes. Paul says, hey, man, choose to lean into the truth of God and his word so that you can grow up in him. It's time to grow up, church. Time to grow up. Time to continue to mature in Christ. As I close, stumbled upon this this week. It's what they call the toddler Ten Commandments. Toddlers in here, or not, well, I'm not speaking directly to toddlers. Parents of toddlers, I should say, in here. Maybe you can relate to your toddler believing these things. The top ten, here's the first one. Thou shalt not wake me up when I'm sleeping. Number one. Commandment number two. Hey, thou shalt not look at me. I want to get looked at. Number three. Thou shalt not stop me from taking other people's toys. We're playing. Number four. Thou shalt feed me what I want, when I want. Number five. Hey, thou shalt turn on my favorite TV show at any given time. Whenever I want. Number six, man, hey, certain parents, you might actually, man, but see this right now. Thou shalt not ask me to go to the potty. Number seven, thou shalt allow me to make a mess because I want to. And then the last couple, hey, thou shalt allow me to vandalize the house. Thou shalt not expect me to say thank you. And thou shalt expect me to throw a fit. The toddler Ten Commandments. If we're to be honest, and even as adults, man, when it comes to the Christian life, hey, we can find ourselves in this same way. Hey, thou shalt let me be about, hey, allow for this to be about my life. Let this be about me. Paul is saying, hey, don't be a spiritual toddler anymore, but rather choose to grow up into Christ. Don't be a spiritual toddler, man, that's greatly affected by the circumstances of life or easily deceived, right, by false doctrine. Don't be a spiritual toddler, but rather choose, man, to grow up into maturity, right, by pursuing this Jesus. Hey, choosing to be folks that speak the truth in love. Choosing to be folks, man, that work to build up the body of Christ. Church, it's time to grow up. Time to grow up. And I hope and pray that as a church we would choose to do so.